Everything technology, from computers to mobile phones,
TVs and the internet.
Information you want, all the help you need. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
And thank you very much for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for whatever it is that you've done for me. Episode 90, Your Tech Life, available on iTunes each and every week. And at yourtechlife.com, this is all about you, trying to help you, whether it's a problem with technology, a question about technology, or advice about technology, or you might just want to have a chat about technology. Something in your life, your phone, something that's happening at work, doesn't matter what it is, yourtechlife.com. All you got to do is go there, send me an email, and I'll get in touch, and we'll get you on the show, and we'll have a chat. We have a full board of calls tonight, so I'll do my best to get through everyone. We'll see how we go. But certainly, if you've got anything to do with technology, you want to have a chat about yourtechlife.com. It wouldn't be possible without the great support of people like Harris Technology, ht.com.au, Netgear, netgear.com.au for all your networking, Norton 360 from Symantec, and the good folks at Jays, J-A-Y-S, top quality earphones, and Ox Digital Radios, O-X-X, Ox Digital Radios. Great products, great companies, and thank you to them for their support. We'll talk to all whole second callers tonight from anything from Blackberries, iPhones, golfing games, PVRs, Apple TV, and we'll also talk tonight to one of the bosses at Navtech, a mapping company, one of the leading mapping companies in Australia, about the future of mapping and location-based services. Very interesting stuff, and that's all ahead on Your Tech Life number 90. So, as I say, couldn't do it without you guys, so if you're listening anywhere, whether you're walking to work, on the train on the way home, sitting at home in your lounge room. In fact, I'd love to know how you're listening. Do send me an email just to say g'day and let me know how you listen each and every week, because there are thousands of you and it's always interesting to get a snapshot of that. YourTechLife.com.
Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
Now, it has been a big week, and for those of you who follow closely, you'll notice your iTunes is updated with a new version of the Two Blokes Talking Tech podcast, a special edition. And if you've downloaded episode 16... you might have skipped one. So check that your iTunes has downloaded the latest one, or go to twoblokestalkingtech.com. Stephen Fennick and I recorded that pretty much straight after the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference keynote, where they announced the iCloud, the iOS 10 line, and the OS 10 line. I keep saying iOS 10. I'm getting ahead of myself with the old mobile platform. And the iOS 5 software announcements from San Francisco. So Stephen Fennick and I have covered all of that on Two Blokes Talking Tech, but I'll cover a bit more of it shortly as we get through the show. But most importantly, it's all about your calls. Let's go to the phones. G'day, Ashley.
G'day, Trevor. How are you?
Really good. What can I do for you, mate?
Just a little. I happened to be listening to you a couple of weeks ago, and someone was talking about the online World Golf Tour game.
Oh, you must have been listening to the radio show. I'm pretty sure we talked about that on the TUE radio show. Yep, absolutely.
Yep.
We were talking about Tim Webster's going into hospital or something. We were talking about games and golf games, and I mentioned Tiger Woods golf, and other people mentioned that there were this world. What's it called?
World Golf Tour.
World Golf Tour, but does it cost money?
No, it doesn't. But you can buy credits.
It's one of those things that you could get sucked right into if you wanted to. But so it's internet based. So it's like a flash design game,
it's
is it?
It's actually flash based.
So I mean, how good is it?
So it actually won't work on an iPhone or an iPad.
Nah, don't worry about that. Get on the computer.
Yeah.
How good is it, mate? How do you rank it against a console or another golf style game?
I've been playing Tiger Woods 2008 for the last couple of years. The World Golf Tour is probably better than...
So the graphics are good. Does it have a lot of courses, or...?
For the PC.
And does it have a lot of courses, or is it just limited to a few?
Well, with Tiger Woods 2008, you can download extra courses.
What about this World Golf Tour?
They're gradually getting new courses every now and again.
All right, so tell me, how do you control the game? Is it controlled through the mouse or the keyboard?
Yes, mouse, yes.
Very good. And last thing, what's the address?
www.wgt.com.
WGT, as in World Golf Tour, WGT.com. If you love your golf And I guess, mate, you could play it at work and no one would know.
You can play in virtual tournaments as well if you want to.
Oh, so you can get into a whole online thing where you're playing against people and all that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, mate, well, thank you for the testimonial and thanks for getting in touch. Good on you, Ashley.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
See, if you've got something that that might help other people based on something we've had a chat about, just send me an email, yourtechlife.com. Let's keep going with calls. G'day, Greg.
Hey, Trevor. How you going?
Really good, mate. What can I do for you?
Look, I'm actually in the process of weighing up a couple of different phone options. I currently have a BlackBerry Bold. Now, I am a believer in the Apple product. A lot of people I know have the iPhone 4.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really tossing up between the BlackBerry Bold and the iPhone 4. That's a new version of the BlackBerry Bold.
Yep. You mean the one that's coming out later in the year that'll have a touch screen, or?
Well, this is the issue.
Yeah.
What I've heard about the latest touchscreen technology is it really zaps the battery.
It is an issue, and I'm using an Android phone at the moment, and you know it's pretty awesome. But they've done some great work on the battery technology. So the question is, will it come out with a different battery as well as that that great technology?
This is the point, because look, I primarily use my phone for business, and travel interstate quite a bit. So the last thing that I want, and to be honest with you, I probably struggle a little bit with my BlackBerry at the moment, but if I'm on a 6:30 flight in the morning and I'm on a 6:30 flight back from say Melbourne, and at night when I'm getting back to Sydney, my battery's just starting to run out, and that's with making calls all day. So yeah. I still need that. Now I know there's other technology where you can plug in additional battery power, but I'm trying to avoid that.
Yeah, oh, I got to tell you, you won't have much. I mean, it's not going to be any better on the iPhone. I mean, if you're just talking battery life, they're no better than each other, to be honest. I've been a BlackBerry user for a long time and have always had a charge every night, and I suffer that same problem. And I find when I go to Melbourne for my work, I need to make sure I plug in for an hour or so at work so that I've got that life on the way home, or I'm kind of stuck at the Qantas lounge, looking for a charger, which is lucky to have those things now. I doubt that they would let the new Bold, the 9900, which is the Bold shape with the touchscreen, I doubt they'd let it come out with a lower battery life. Let me put it that way. So it's
Do you think?
Yep.
No, I was going to say, so do you think with the applications and everything running with the touchscreen, you think I would get very, very similar life to the Bold?
Oh, I think you'll get very similar life. I've been using the Torch, which is their touchscreen slide phone, for a long time now, a good 6 months it feels like, and it has as good battery life as the Bold, in my opinion. I've had some people say the opposite, don't get me wrong, and some of those people have been at BlackBerry, but I've got good life out of it, and it comes down to that conservation thing. Sometimes you need to think about the fact that you're on a long day, and you know what I do is when I'm really not in need of email and stuff, I just turn the email data off for a couple of hours, because that's what actually costs you time and battery, is the data. So if you turn the data off while you're near a computer, when you turn it back on, yeah, it'll download all your mail, but it's a couple of hours worth of data that's saved. Not in terms of the data bandwidth, but in the battery life, because that's what chooses it is using all that data. So, my basic comment to you is I don't think the iPhone 4 is going to offer you anything much greater. And here's my big thing. How much typing do you do on the thing?
Well, funny that you say that. I actually have an iPad as well, which I use for emails because I find it easier to type when I'm on the go.
Well, you, my friend, are very close to being a convert to the iPhone 4, but then one would say maybe you should wait till the end of the year because they may just announce the iPhone 4S or 5 or whatever it'll be called in September, which will probably have a better battery and there'll be better functions. So if you can hold out, well, you're going to have to hold out for the new Bold anyway. So maybe hold out and decide at that point. But it sounds to me like you're ready to jump over.
well, yeah, contract's coming up to an end, and I'm going to swap a few over in the office. So it's sort of an important decision.
It's a tough decision too, because some people just want them in the office because everyone wants an iPhone. But I find the BlackBerry very practical when it comes to the speed of email delivery, the way it integrates all those things. I like the ability to customize the email screen. One line instead of two, really really small font. You can't do all that in an iPhone, so you are stuck in what it comes with essentially, and that bugs me a little. But I just can't type on the bloody things. I just can't type on touch screens. I'm using this Android phone at the moment, and it's doing my head in. But I'm persisting with it because I want to and I need to. But it is doing my head in not to be able to type pretty much without looking as I walk along a street or as I sit at my desk, you know. And that's my biggest gripe at the moment. So if I was in your position and I didn't do a lot of typing, I would have moved away from BlackBerry a long time ago.
Okay, interesting. Definitely food for thought, but you've certainly given me some things to think about going forward, and maybe I will wait towards the end of the year.
And mate, if you're in business and you've got a couple of business plans, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be saying to my carrier, well, you know, we're thinking about switching, and they might want to keep you on one or the other, and just say to them, can we swap over just for a month or two on a trial the BlackBerry Torch? And because then you can get a feel for how much the touchscreen, you know, whether it does interface that, you know, ruin the battery or anything like that, you know, have a play with one like that.
Well, I'm actually thinking about swapping carriers too at the moment, so it's sort of all
While you're in the market, they're in the market too, remember? So don't ever lose track of the fact that they want you as a customer as much as you want a good deal for yourself. So, you know, if you've got a good, you know, kind of business manager contact, or you can get your way through the channels to really get the right contacts, even if it's a 5-phone plan, you know, whatever it is, they love those 5 phones on their service. Don't worry about that. So shop around and ask those questions and see whether you can get a demo, even if it's just for 3 days, you know. They'll have demos. You just got to find them. You've got to find the right people, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. No, good point.
All right,
appreciate
Greg, good luck. And, you know, I'd love to hear from you later on when you make a decision, mate, because it's always really interesting to see how people make those decisions, buddy.
Okay. Thank you.
Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
And you are listening to Your Tech Life. I am Trevor Long. YourTechLife.com. Just get in touch. Send me an email. I'll get you on the show. We'll have a chat, or I'll try and help you out. Thanks to the good people at Jays. J-A-Y-S. Awesome earphones, and they call them earphones, just to be clear, not headphones all the time. Headphones are what I'm wearing right now, and they're the VJs. So the Js that you've heard me talk about a lot and bang on about, and you've seen them on the internet, are little in-ear buds, and you can get flat, tangle-free cords. But I want to tell you this week about the VJs. Now, the VJs are $99, $100. They're lightweight, portable, and really powerful. And the sound with them is just remarkable. And not that the AJs are bad, but there's just a different sound and different headphones. But it's important that you get what you want. When I'm sitting here talking to myself, I need to hear the right quality bass and all those different things. And the VJs are just fantastic. And the thing is, they're really light. They're only 59 grams. They collapse so you can together so that they're kind of very easy to be portable. They are really one of the lightest headphones in the class, and they're high performance with a mid price point. So 2-year warranty, $99.95 recommended retail. You get 2 pairs of foam cushions, you get an extension cord for your shuffle or whatever it might be, and they're 25 up to 20,000 hertz earphones. So check those out, the VJs, VJAYS, the VJs earphones. I really love these, and tell you one where I think these would be great is for kids. I was talking to someone who bought iPod Touches for their kids, and they were worried about, you know, having the volume up. So I said, well, put earphones on. Then they're worried about the volume. And I said, well, you can limit the volume on an iPod. And also, you can get them a set of these, the VJs, which are really light. They don't hurt your ears because they're sitting on them, and they don't stick in your ears. So you've got everything you need there. So it doesn't matter whether you're a professional or just for the kids. VJs, a good recommendation on my part. So check them out. The VJs from Jays, J-A-Y-S. And you can go to my website, yourtechlife.com, and click on the Jays logo.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
G'day, David.
Hi, Trevor.
Mate, what can I do for you?
Well, Trevor, I'm contemplating buying either an Apple TV or a Telstra T-Box, and I was wondering what your opinion is.
Well, I'm a man with an opinion on everything, as you might know by now. I do love my T-Box, I've got to say. Now, I use it in a probably pretty unique way. I've got it down in my kind of man cave, so it's my primary viewing device through the big screen TV here. So I've got all my free-to-air channels, but I also use it as a video recorder, so I can, you know, record all my favourite shows, and I can obviously download movies and watch them when I want to. So for that, that's really all I use it for, to be honest, and I find it to be fantastic for that very purpose. So the number one thing comparing Apple TV and a T-Box is an Apple TV is not a personal video recorder, so you're not going to be able to record your favourite TV shows. when they're on free-to-air. And Apple TV is more about using this tiny little device, which is, what, $99 these days, and being able to watch anything that's on iTunes. So being able to watch movies, be able to watch videos, be able to watch music clips and all those kind of things, and, of course, anything else that's on your network. So my number one question to you is, what do you have on your network? Do you have a lot of content on your computers, like movies and things?
Oh, well, I have got some, but that probably doesn't interest me. I wouldn't mind watching, you know, photos on my TV in an easier way than what I currently can.
Mm. And Apple TV is the better option for that, yep.
Yeah, if I want to play a slideshow or something. So you couldn't use the T-Box for that.
No, the T-Box doesn't have that capability yet, and I wouldn't even predict that it's going to. Do you have Foxtel?
No, I don't.
Do you have any interest in Foxtel?
Probably not really, I don't think.
Are you into
I'm not a big sports fan. So.
Okay, so you're not into VA Supercars or AFL or NRL?
Only in a small way.
Yeah, because those are the other reasons. Yeah, those are the other reasons to get a T-Box, because they have dedicated channels for those things, and the Foxtel is because they have a few channels coming on the T-Box. So if we rule out all those kind of extra things, then I think you're left with two very distinct options. Which is more important, being able to record free-to-air TV or being able to watch, you know, photos and videos that are on your network? Once you decide that, you pretty much choose your device, because if you want to watch your photos and videos that are on your computer and your network, you go with an Apple TV. If you want to be able to record TV and, you know, personal video recorder style and series link and all that kind of stuff, then you go with T-Box.
Well, see, I currently have a hard drive.
Mm. But you mean a hard drive PVR, or like a proper thing that actually records all your programs when you need them, or is it just a hard drive?
No, it's a proper PVR, I guess you call it.
Right. Yeah. So you're happy with that?
Yes, I am.
Well, I think then that
it's not a new one. I've had it for a couple of years now, so I'm sure the newer ones have more functionality than mine's got.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I love my T-Box, don't get me wrong, but I think for you that the Apple TV is probably the better option, because it's going to give you, you've got your personal video recording. Apple TV is going to give you access to movies, and there'll always be arguments about who's got more movies. It's a kind of a peeing contest, if you like, between all the vendors. So if you're happy with what's available in iTunes, then in terms of movies, and you're happy, and you can get computer content, your movies and videos onto your kind of your wireless network or your router, then the Apple TV can access them. It's probably the best way to go, mate.
All right. Well, how about connectivity to my TV? I see that I think Telstra gives you the option of having the power line connection.
Mate, it's so easy
these
days. What
about Apple TV? Is it the same?
Well, think of it as compatible for both. You could choose. Now, do they charge you extra on the T-Box for the power line?
I guess they do.
Yeah, I think they do. Look, you can walk into any store. Obviously, Harris Technology sponsors are mine. Or you can walk into any good electronics store, and you can find Powerline Internet from Netgear and a bunch of others. And you can also find, the one thing I know would be perfect, is your Netgear wireless universal Wi-Fi adapter, which basically just plugs into the back of the Apple TV and makes it wireless. You know what, I haven't used an Apple TV in a long time. I don't think it's got Wi-Fi. It's a really embarrassing thing not to know, but I'm pretty sure it's only Ethernet. So bottom line, you can put power line to your TV through any provider, and you can go and buy that yourself. So you don't have to be wedded to the T-Box just because they offer that option.
Right.
Yeah.
I must admit, I didn't realize. I thought the Apple TV was wireless. So you do have to have a connection with the Apple TV.
Let's look it up, mate, because, I mean, it's a pretty important part of the equation for you, because if the Apple TV for $99 comes with Wi-Fi, and as I said, the only time I use it, I've got a network, so I just plugged it straight in. Apple TV, for $99, geez, that's good. It's 802.11n, so it's the fastest Wi-Fi, mate. Oh, that's you'd be hard placed to go past that. But the T-Box has Wi-Fi as well.
Yes, it does.
So,
I've got my current wireless is N.
Yep.
And
so that's perfect. And this is N as well, so you're going to get good speed.
Oh, no, sorry, it's not. It's not N, it's G. Sorry.
Well, I'd upgrade that, and I'd upgrade it to a dual band one as well, so that you're getting video streaming at one level, the 5 gigahertz, and the rest of your network occurs at 2.5 gigahertz. So that's the benefit of the dual band routers, is they stream the video content at the higher bit rate and or the higher band frequency, and therefore it protects your network a little bit better, and it's better quality.
Okay.
So it sounds to me like you should upgrade your router to an N BGN version and get yourself an Apple TV for $99, and you are away and loving it.
Okay, good on you. Thanks, Trevor.
No problem at all, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
Appreciate your help.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
Yes, interesting. So, and while we're thinking Apple, just a quick rundown of the announcements this week at the Worldwide Developers Conference over in San Francisco. And I'm not going to be able to summarize it here for you all, but if you're an Apple user, there's some really exciting things. Firstly, if you're an Apple PC user, as in the Mac or a laptop, later this year for around $32, the latest version of the operating system will be available. Mac, OS X, Lion. Now, look, there is a lot to it. There's a lot of great stuff in it. A lot of it's about launching pad that makes, you know, some interface there which kind of similar to the iPad and iPhone. There'll be good touch gestures in there if you've got the little magic trackpad and things like that. You know, enhanced security as always. Look, a stack of developments there, but essentially it's a good evolution of the operating system. I think the two bigger things today, even though that's big, the two bigger things today are iOS 5 for the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 3GS, iPod Touches, and the iPad 1 and 2, and some really good stuff, but I've been thinking about it. It's not enough. It's not enough to be 100% compelling, but they've done a lot. Let me tell you one thing. BlackBerry should be worried. This is they've done some really good work on the messaging. Now, I've mentioned this before, my wife and I have BlackBerries because we can message each other for free. They're introducing that to the iPods, iPads, and iPhones. So, on any iOS device, you can message someone, and it sends a message direct. It's not an email, it's not a text message, it's just a direct message to the device, or to the user, and it doesn't use an SMS cost. So, essentially, data. Look, you can pick up the conversation on any device. This is good, and it's compelling for, you know, groups of people, kids, let alone families. So that's a big thing. Some really simple things with the camera. You can use the camera directly from the lock screen very simply. You can use the volume up button to actually take the photo in the camera mode. You can, there's a whole notes and tasks kind of section, which is big, because there's so many apps that do that, but none of them do it really well, so it'll be interesting to see how that works. There's a really interesting notifications section, so you won't just get a little red number one next to your email icon to see you've got that. You'll actually get, you know, previews of SMS messages. You get tweet notifications, so you can actually get notifications like you do on many other phones. So it's kind of catch up there. One of the other things is Twitter is built into this device, so it is hardcore in the settings to be able to tweet links and photos and all that kind of stuff. It's, you know, hardcore built into the device. So, you know, no mucking about. Twitter is the social network of choice, as I heard someone describe it today, for Apple, which is really important because, you know, it's another message that Twitter is here to stay. You know, little things like you can set caller ID for FaceTime calls, whether it's your email or your phone number. When you're syncing the device, you can still use it. It's not a, you know, no more syncing screen. Lots of little things. Wireless syncing to your iTunes in your Wi-Fi network. Over-the-air updates, you know, when you're in your Wi-Fi zone, you don't have to plug it in and download these big things. It'll all come straight to the phone. Just a lot of little things that makes it quite a good step up. But I just think they really needed widgets. They really needed these widgets that Android have that allow you to do more than just icons on the home screen. So I think that's my biggest concern, is they're falling behind with that. But who knows? And we don't even know with the beta versions that are out. We don't know what will really come out. So it'll be interesting to see. And the final thing was the iCloud. What is it? Oh, so hard to explain. But look, it's cloud or internet-based synchronization of your documents, photos, movies, music, and apps. So if you buy a piece of music on your iPad and then you want to listen to it on your iPhone, you just open up your iPhone music and you can go to a list of purchased items, and there'll be a little cloud icon next to a song, and you can click that cloud and it'll bring it down. It'll synchronize it onto that device for you. So the biggest part of that is there's also a system where you can re-download music, which has not been possible up until now. If you buy a song today and delete that song from your hard drive, you have to buy it again to get it back. It doesn't happen with an app. If you delete an app, you can re-download the app for free, which is, you know, it's a big hole in their strategy. So the music synchronization or the music repurchasing or the re-downloading is a fantastic addition. So that was great. Anyway, it's very exciting to be able to access all your music, all your photos, all everything from the cloud. There'll be issues around security that'll have to be tested and checked, and there'll be issues around data usage and what's available on 3G and what's not. But really exciting stuff. Is it enough in 2011? I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see what the future holds. But they'll certainly continue to corner the market, but I think Android is still a great operating system in comparison, and I worry about BlackBerry. I think they're really falling behind. Anyway, we shall soon find out.
Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
And you're listening to Your Tech Life, yourtechlife.com. If you want to get in touch, do send me an email. I'll try and help you out, whether you've got a question about technology or a problem, or you just want to have a chat about anything technology, yourtechlife.com. Now, I've talked a lot about satellite navigation and all those different things over the last few years, and some really interesting chats, especially with some of the providers of the devices, talking about what the future holds and, you know, what can be done with the data that's being collected and what can be done with satellites. I'm wearing a GPS watch, for crying out loud, at the moment, so it's all happening in terms of GPS. But there's been some really interesting sort of research done lately into the value that Australians may see in the potential for location-based things like advertising and coupons, and I thought we might have a chat with someone about that. And Kirk Mitchell from Navtech Oceania is on the line. G'day, Kirk.
G'day, Trevor. How are you?
Man, I'm excellent. Now, just quickly, Navtech's not a name a lot of people would be familiar with without being disrespectful, but it's not a, you know, TomTom, Garmin, that kind of thing. But what you do is you power what's behind some of those devices, don't you?
That's exactly right, Trevor. So Navtech is actually a company which has been around for 25 years. We're headquartered out of Chicago, and we have map coverage now across 90 countries worldwide. And indeed, we're powering many of the automotive navigation systems, portable navigation systems, and also wireless. And we have something like 100 million maps that are actually served or accessed by our community and network every day.
So there's a whole stack of research been done by Galaxy, which I'm assuming you guys initiated. You know, several hundred people, something like 600 people across Australia been talked to about what they see in mapping. And what we're seeing here is that people see some real value in the potential for location-based concepts, just generally. And let's think about that. And that could be anything from, you know, driving somewhere and the advertising is based around where they are, so what appears on their device or their phone, or potentially what appears on the roadside is based on where they are, or potentially they'll get offers and deals come through based on where they are.
Well, it's exactly right, Trevor. One of the key things here is that there's been, for many years, a lot of promise about the opportunity of location-based advertising. Mm. But one of the missing pieces of the puzzle has really been some research locally in Australia here, which looked exclusively at whether Australian consumers be willing to accept location-based ads, and indeed what kind of ads they would accept. So we undertook some research, and one of the real telling things we're very pleased about is that three-quarters of Australians actually find location-based advertising or advertisements appealing and are willing to receive offers based upon their location. And around 34% of that number would actually leave this functionality on all the time when they're shopping. So really pleasing results.
So you could be walking down the main street, or you could be driving. So I drive, for example, in Sydney, I drive the Pacific Highway pretty much northbound up to Hornsby every day. And I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, but it could be things like, you know, it knows my... This is what I love. I love going crazy into the future. So I love the fact that my car may integrate with its GPS or my own GPS and tell it that I'm low on fuel and that I've only got, you know, 20 kilometres left, and it'll tell me that within that 20 kilometres, based on what it knows via the internet about petrol prices, it'll tell me where to go for that fuel to get the cheapest price. And if I tell it I need nappies or toilet paper on the way home too, it might tell me which petrol station stocks those things.
Well, it's quite nice personalised as that at some point, but indeed... For the past 2 to 3 years, we've been running similar kind of campaigns in both North America and Europe. And they've got a lot of experience there about how consumers are best to receive these kind of location-based ads. For example, in Europe, we ran a campaign with a major hamburger chain where you could actually receive 30% off a hamburger if indeed you were to click through the ad. And then we had a huge response to that. There was something like 7%, what we call click-through rate. So 7%
of the
people actually saw the ad.
A lot of people.
Quick through, and then some 30% of those actually did navigate a door, got a map of where that the closest restaurant was, or the outlet was, to receive that offer. So, yeah, it's a really good response to ads, which provide, you know, tremendous value.
Do you know, a question without notice, do you know how we compare to the rest of the world in terms of Australia's acceptance of this kind of technology?
Well, one of the things we really we're not that surprised about is most of the countries before we launched this stuff, and indeed in Australia, we're hoping to be able to run some commercial trials later in the year. We run these kind of surveys just to really understand exactly what the local scenarios are like. And Australia has stacked up very similar to many other Western countries where we're undertaking such research. You know, most people are looking for value. There's a lot of benefits in location-based advertising. It's it gives you convenience and timeliness, but really cost savings is the number one thing. And indeed, 89% of the people who responded to the recent survey we took actually were looking for cost savings in terms of a key benefit of it.
And so just thinking, and I'll just wrap it up, but I'm just thinking about Navtech. What's the future for a company like yours in terms of, because I've got to say, I've always said that, you know, GPS devices are going to be a hard thing to quantify in terms of the cost of them when you have so many free options around, but I guess it's the value add that people like you and then therefore the manufacturers offer in terms of the content on the map. Is it more about the content on the map now than the map itself, you know, because the roads are fixed and everyone shares that data, but it's about making sure that you do have the best pool of offers on the map and the best pool of businesses on the map to get those offers?
Well, again, Trevor, it's a really good point. You know, for the past 25 years, we've been building and maintaining these maps. And these dots on the maps have really been static. They've been sitting there. You could actually search for the closest ATM or petrol station. But indeed, there wasn't that much extra value or information to get in. And what we're finding is that location-based advertising is indeed, you know, dynamic information about something which is close to you, which is providing a lot more information about what potentially people want around them. So it's becoming much more interactive, both for the consumer and potentially for the advertisers looking to connect to consumers close to their merchants or outlets. So it's really win-win for both sides.
It's really quite exciting, isn't it? I mean, you must love thinking about these things and crystal ball gazing, but the even more exciting thing is it's not really crystal ball gazing anymore. It's kind of roadmap kind of stuff. It's actually happening really soon.
That was another really good point from the research. We were overwhelmed with the fact that some 54% of the respondents actually had a phone with had GPS or mapping capability.
Yeah.
And of that, about 3/4 actually used that mapping or GPS capability. So, you know, some 5 or 6 years ago, this would, you know, people didn't understand exactly what you could get from a GPS-based mobile phone. But today, people are actually using it, and very soon we'll be able to receive location-based ads or other further dynamic content through these devices.
I love future thinking, Kirk. Thanks very much for the chat, and good luck with everything. And look forward to seeing some exciting location-based stuff coming to devices near us very soon.
Excellent, Trevor. Thank you very much for your time.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
And thank you to the good people at Netgear, netgear.com.au, connecting with innovation, as they say. All the home and small business networking products you need. And if you're in a small business, I'd love to hear from you. YourTechLife.com. Send me an email. We might try and help you out, see maybe what's on your network, how your network looks, and what you could do differently on your network, maybe improve things. From every level, from storage, from backups to actual just connectivity. YourTechLife.com. If you're running a business, a small business, let me know. I'm very curious to see how good advice might be able to help you improve your network. But whether at business or at home, netgear.com.au. check out the ways they'll help you connect your home. So whether it's through your simple PowerPoints and sending the internet through them, or through some great new Wi-Fi innovations, Wi-Fi modems, or even the wonderful push-to-TV concepts that they've got using the Intel WiDi chips that basically allow you to, from a laptop, to push the laptop screen across to the TV. So I'll bring you some more on that in the next next few months. There's some very exciting new devices coming out with that, and we'll try and get a video up of some of that. But whatever it is in networking, netgear.com.au.
Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
And I say it every week, but I can't do a show without people. So this is all about talking to you, and if you've got a problem or a question or whatever it might be about technology, yourtechlife.com. G'day, Stuart.
G'day, how are you?
Really good. What can I do for you, champion?
I'm having trouble with my internet provider. Well, at least I think it's my internet provider.
Yeah.
The connection is cutting out all the time, or runs terribly slow, and the connection just sort of clocks off.
Right.
Basically.
And what do they say when you ring them?
When they ring them, of course they sort of set it up again, and it seems to work perfectly.
So every time you ring, it seems to work again. So it does sound like it's their problem.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. I mean, I can actually, while I'm on the computer, I can actually go to repair, and it'll connect to the internet again, but it might last maybe an hour or sometimes, like this morning at 4 o'clock when I was up, it was just inoperable at all.
That's unacceptable. So, look, it sounds to me like you need to shop around, and you know the best place to shop around is a website called Whirlpool. Okay, now it's Whirlpool, as in, WHIRLPOOL, whirlpool.net, net.au. And they've got this thing called Broadband Choice, and allows you to put your phone number in, and then it'll locate where you are, and allows you to then choose how much you want to spend, how much data you need, and all these different things, and then it'll list for you the best value options for you, and that kind of stuff. But, look, essentially, really, I've got three recommendations for you. Go to a big guy like Telstra or Optus. So that's one option. The second option is to choose one of the second tier top line internet providers, which would be iiNet and Internode, assuming you're not with one of those that I've already mentioned.
No, I'm with TPG.
Rightio. Well, I mean, and look, you know what? It sounds to me like you're dissatisfied with them, so there's no point, persisting. Essentially, what I'd be doing is picking up the phone to Internode or iiNet. Do you use VoIP and all those kind of things, or are you just an internet user?
I do, but it's interesting. I had the VoIP on for 2 or 3 months, and then it's just vanished again. I can't get it at all, which leads me to thinking that they want me to pay for my calls.
Mate, if you need VoIP, then I'd be going to iiNet. They have that great Bob system, which is an integrated phone system. Mate, my thoughts straight off of the bat are just ring iiNet, IINET.
Right, okay.
And give them a whirl, mate, and I think that you might get more satisfaction out of them. They're a good number two ISP in the country. They do really well, and they try hard, and I think they'll give you better support, right, most likely.
It's just interesting that I've got 2 or 3 friends, and they're with TPG too, and they're having the same problems as I'm having.
Mate, it sounds to me like you've made your own mind up. Switch.
Right, okay.
And get on the phone to iiNet or someone else, but iiNet probably the first one to try, mate.
Thanks very much, Trevor.
Good on you. Thanks for getting in touch.
No worries.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
Now, some other announcements coming out of the US, which I might talk about in a little bit more detail next week, and also this week on Two Blokes Talking Tech, which we'll do on Thursday, with Stephen Fenwick arriving back from the US. At E3, the big gaming conference, Microsoft have thrown up a whole stack of new games to look forward to on the Xbox 360, most or all of which will have a bit of Kinect integration: Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3, Dance Central 2, Fable, The Journey, Forza Motorsport 4, which I'm interested in seeing, Gears of War 3, Halo 4. Interesting, because Halo, they've obviously changed developers on that, because the last Halo Reach was very much the last one for that development team. So obviously change developers on that. Connect Sports, another season of that, which is great. There'll be golf and winter skiing and darts and tennis. I really look forward to that. I love that game. It's good fun. Connect Star Wars, Connect Disneyland Adventures, whole stack of games, and really just trying to make it clear. I mean, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I used to love the Tom Clancy series of games on the PC back in the late 90s, so I might get back into that one day. But look, it's all happening over there. We'll wait until next week to talk more about E3. We might talk to someone who's been over there, because it's all happening. There's a lot of announcements coming out. Sony have announced their new PlayStation Portable. What's it called? PlayStation Vivid or something like that. You know, all these new announcements. There's a lot to get your head around. The Vita, PlayStation Vita, PS Vita, something like that. More stupid names for fun things, but you know, they really need to compete in that portable mode, because the iPad and the iPhone are really dominating the games platform, full stop. I mean, they are very popular gaming machines. Anyway, you're listening to Your Tech Life.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
A quick glance at the Norton Cybercrime Index by Symantec shows us that today's risk level is at 89, which is down from yesterday and a bit down from last week as well. But some very very important information for you, and you can get that on your mobile phone at NortonCybercrimeIndex.mobi, NortonCybercrimeIndex.mobi, or NortonCybercrimeIndex.com on your computer. 87% of spam of mail today is spam. Hackers are the biggest problem we've got on the internet, but there is still the problem of people. 4.8% of identities were stolen just by accidentally making them public. So you got to be careful. You got to watch what you're doing. And you can protect yourself with Norton 360 by Symantec. Get that on your PC, and if you've got a Mac, get Norton Antivirus for Mac, Norton Internet Security for Mac. Norton 360, though, is a great product. It protects your PC, keeps your PC tuned, also has online backup. So there's a whole range of things there in Norton 360 from Symantec, and all well worth checking out.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
We'll definitely get to everyone today, because I've been good, snappy and sharp. So after going a little bit long last week, I won't keep you too long today. A couple more calls to get through. Who haven't we spoken to? My goodness me. Let's talk to Paul. G'day, Paul.
Hi, Trevor.
Hey, mate. What can I do for you?
Oh, I just wanted to give you some feedback regarding my experience with Netgear.
Oh, you rang a few weeks ago. You had, is it the one that had the VoIP ports, and you had like several LAN ports and a couple of them weren't working or something like that?
Yeah. I had all these problems with the LAN ports slowly failing.
Yes.
And managed to get in contact with someone at Netgear, and they were very helpful with me.
So was it a software issue? Because I didn't know whether... I think you said you'd upgraded the firmware and done all that sort of stuff. So was it literally a faulty modem had to be replaced, or...?
It ended up being a hardware issue. And the great thing about it was that before I returned my device to them, I backed up a configuration file.
Yes.
And when I received the replacement device, which was pretty quick... all I had to do was update my firmware and load my configuration file, and I was back on track within 20 minutes, really. So it was really good.
Perfect. Can I ask you, what happens when you... So if that happened to me, I'd be pretty unhappy to be offline for any period of time. How long did you have to go without... Oh, I guess did you have to send your old one back and get the new one sent in, or how did that work?
Yeah. I had to career up mine at my own expense, which was fair enough, address that they specified, and once they delivered it, I got a new device delivered to me within 2 days.
No, it's not so bad.
So,
then,
that was great. I just got it delivered to my work, and I took it home that night. So, I mean, 2 days considering, so you know, obviously for some people, 2 days is quite a long time, but. I suppose for the home user, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, exactly. All right, well, that's good that you had a good experience, mate, and I'm sure that'll stick with you for a while, and I'm glad we got to share that with Renault. Thanks for getting back in touch, Paul.
Okay, thanks a lot, Trevor.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
Good to get some support and help for him there. YourTechLife.com if you want to get in touch, and thank you to good people at HarrisTechnologyHT.com.au. whatever it is about computers, just look at their website, ht.com.au. They've got computers, they've got displays, they've got networking, they've got storage, they've got printers and ink, they've got accessories, they've got servers, they've got software, they've got point of sale devices. They've got everything. Everything with technology. Software, right up, a little USB key or a big server computer. Doesn't matter what it is. And if you're in small business, we talked about business earlier, let's talk business now. They've got business sales teams who can help you. So if you want to get in touch with Harris Technology, go to the website, ht.com.au. On the right-hand side, there's a little link there for business sales. You know, whether you're a small business or a large, they can help you out, because they do everything from point of sale to VoIP phone systems to make your life and potentially save you some money. But you know, if you go to them, they can help with things like premium pricing negotiations, direct to vendor manageability, so they can manage your purchases. They can get your volume pricing. They can ensure technology compatibility across a range of brands. They can take the hassle out of the buying, and they give you pre and post sales support, which is crucial because a sales representative is assigned to manage your project from start to finish. So if you're in business, ht.com.au, tell them where you heard about it, and check out the good guys at Harris Technology.
Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
It's been a big week, lots of podcasts. We've done the Two Blokes Talking Tech special edition. We've got another Two Blokes Talking Tech coming. This is episode 90, 10 to go till we have the big 100th party. Send me ideas if you've got ideas. What are we going to do on 100? Have a party? Should we do an outside broadcast? I don't know. What should we do? Let me know what you think. Come up with ideas for me. What can we do to celebrate 100 individual special Your Tech Life podcasts? 100 shows, 10 weeks away. Let us know what you think. Let's wrap it up, though, with one last call. G'day, David.
Oh, hello, Trevor.
What can I do for you, mate?
Well, I'm using iTunes a bit to do podcasts and things like that. And
very good.
Like using errors on a radio station, 2SM it is, what the problem area is, and it comes up 403 all the time, and I've had a 404 and a 1296 on something else. I don't know what all these numbers mean, but how do you fix that problem? What's the answer?
So when you're in a 2SM podcast and you're a subscriber, or are you just looking at an individual episode, do you know?
Subscriber.
Mm-hmm. And do you know which one specifically? I might be able to have a look at it.
Yeah, it's the sporting show of an afternoon.
Oh, yeah. What's that? Talking Sport.
Talking Sport, yeah. But I must say, I've done the John Law show of the morning, and it downloads okay, and I think it's on the same station.
Okay, well, I can tell you right now, I'm getting the same problem. And what I get is I've just tried to subscribe to the Talk and Sport radio show, the Graham Hughes show, Gavin Robertson, good bloke. And it says, problem downloading, authorization is needed to access, and it gives you a specific file name. So, mate, the bottom line is, the problem is not at your end, which is kind of a good thing, but the problem is at 2SM's end. So we need to get in touch with 2SM, and I'll do that for you, mate, and I'll just say to them, because I've listened to John Law's podcast as well, so that's working. So there's just something they're doing wrong with that sporting one, I'd suggest.
Yeah. There's also a 1296. What do you do when you get these error signs come up? Do you there any way of overcoming them from my end, or is it always from the other end?
Well, it is normally from the other end in iTunes. What I've found in iTunes is when you're a subscriber, you get that little apostrophe, a little exclamation mark, and that normally appears in your iTunes. I'm not getting a numbered message. I'm getting a very clear written message here. So I'm not seeing the same as you. I'm not sure if you've maybe got an older version of iTunes. But in the end, it is normally a problem at their end. What I've done, I've actually had problem downloading my podcast a couple of times, and that's just been because my network was really slow. So I've just had to push get again, or just try again, and it works. But if you get the same error message all the time, then it's most likely at the end of the podcaster, and really the only way to fix it is to get in touch with them. So, mate, I'll do that. I know some people at 2SM, so I'll give them a buzz, and we'll try and fix that for you, and hopefully we'll be able to listen to them again very soon, David.
Yeah, just one. What would be a 9006 or a 3150? They were another two.
9006, you say?
Yeah, that comes up in the podcast itself. It comes up and says error 9006 or 3150.
Yes. Yes, well, I know the 403 and the 404 you mentioned originally to me, they're very much website messages. with the 9006, just having a quick look, it could be something to do with your internet. Maybe the security settings on your internet. So it might be worthwhile going into your Internet Explorer, going into Tools and Internet Options, and then into Security Settings, maybe reset the security settings. Because if you've installed any new antivirus or anything like that, it might have changed your security settings. But what I'm seeing here, just at a quick search while we're talking, is that it could well be something to do with its ability to actually get access to that file. So it could be, not guaranteed, but it could be something to do with your security settings. The other thing to do, and that's all I'm really doing, is I'm just going to Google and typing 9006 iTunes error. And I'm getting, Apple has a really good support community where people can log problems and other people will hopefully solve them. So have a look on the Apple website and see whether you can find some support there as well. But directly, what I'll do, if you're getting a few messages, I might get an Apple Genius, mate, to give you a buzz from Apple and see whether they can talk you through a couple of things, all right?
Yeah. I download probably 30 or 40 different podcasts. Most of them come through. It's just the odd one that I have a problem with.
And you know what? When you're having that sort of success rate, you have to assume that it is a problem with the people at the other end. But we'll just get Apple to help you out, and it might be that you need to update your iTunes or something like that. We'll see how that goes, and we'll get them in touch with you this week, mate.
Oh, that's very good of you. I appreciate it.
No worries at all, mate. Thanks for getting in touch.
Thanks, Trevor. Bye.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.
Thank you, David. Two Davids tonight. It's very confusing. YourTechLife.com. You've got to get in touch if you want some help, or you've got a question, or you just want to have a chat about technology. And remember, if you're in business, let me know. I want to hear from you. If you've got ideas for the 100th show, let me know. And most importantly, just say g'day. YourTechLife.com. Send me an email, say g'day. It's lovely to chat to people who are enjoying the show. For good or bad, let me know what you think. And it's always there's always room for improvement, and I'm here to do that. So yourtechlife.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you to Harris Technology, Netgear, Norton 360 by Symantec, and Jays. I'll be back next week with episode 91.
Talking technology without the jargon. Your Tech Life with Trevor Long.